From the College World Series in Omaha, it's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Herz on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
Ready or not, Omaha, Nebraska, cause here we come.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Max Herz in Omaha getting you set for the College World Series Finals, Vanderbilt and Michigan. Monday night, Tuesday night, and if necessary, Wednesday night in our best 2 out of 3 series for college baseball's national championship. Both teams 3-0, unblemished on their way in and out of the double elimination portion. Started with 8 here in Omaha a week ago, and we are down to 2. Both teams had Saturday off after winning their brackets in the minimum amount of games possible, and Sunday they hit the field again, both for a casual workout and batting practice on the field at TD Ameritrade. Heard from both head coaches, some of the players as well. We are going to cover all the big storylines headed into the College World Series Finals. Of course, most notably, former Vanderbilt assistant coach Eric Bakich, Tim Corbin's first assistant coach, hitting coach, recruiting coordinator at Vanderbilt, held the position from 2003 to 2009, now the head coach at Michigan, and we got two sides of the Tim Corbin coaching tree here in this College World Series Finals. We'll hear from both coaches plenty, what it means for them to face each other, what the other means to their respective careers. Bit of a love fest today during our big press conference. It was fun. It was fun to witness that in person. A lot from Coach Corbin and Coach Bakich coming. We'll hear from a couple of Michigan players as well. Catcher Joe Donovan on Vanderbilt's strong national reputation, and second baseman Akeo Thomas goes one-on-one with me reflecting on his Michigan career this season and more, heading into his last either 2 or 3 college games. But where we start today, our Vanderbilt one-on-one interview here on the Anchor Down Podcast with the man who, if I had to vote right now, is the MVP of the College World Series so far. Tyler Brown, Vanderbilt closer, has finished off all 3 games for the Commodores, all 3 wins. Got the final 5 outs last Sunday against Louisville, got the final 7 outs against Mississippi State on Wednesday, and then on Friday got the final 3 outs after Vanderbilt took the lead in the top of the 9th to finish off Louisville with the 1-run advantage, strand the tying run at second, and get Vanderbilt into the College World Series Finals. Tyler and I talk College World Series. We talk big picture year long, how Vanderbilt's pitchers stay fresh this deep in the season, his arm care tactics, how he's improved in that area. And also for the first time, Tyler talks about the game against Indiana State where he was hit hard, couldn't finish that game in the regionals. We found out after that Indiana State had a tell on him. He was tipping his pitches. He was giving his pitches away. Find out what Tyler Brown did after that game to permanently fix the problem and find out what he was doing to give his pitch calls away. Here is Vanderbilt closer Tyler Brown.
Thanks and congratulations on getting this far.
Thank you. Thank you.
You closed out all 3 wins this week. What's it like to do that?
Just doing it for my team, not really paying attention to how many it is or anything like that. Just whenever the team needs me, I'm more than welcome to come in and happy to do it.
Do you feel like you've gotten stronger as the season's gone on?
I wouldn't say stronger. I'd just say everything's consistent. I feel a lot more comfortable just coming out in the situation. I feel better than I did last year, but I just think this year has been a really good year and just trying to keep that up.
With that in mind, what do you guys do with Brownie as a staff just to make sure you're fresh at this point in the season?
I think it just comes down to the following the same routines as we did in the fall and just knowing who we are, knowing what we need. And Brownie's really good about that, and so is Hammer, so is Corbs. They all understand, and they're really good about making sure we get our good recovery in and lift and all the things that we need. And our trainers in here, I can't thank everyone enough here that does everything for us. Tracy's great, and so is Hammer, making sure that we get ice,
right,
therapy, and everything like that.
With all those guys, what type of strides have you made with your arm care this year and last year?
I'd say a lot, because they teach me a lot of how to recover in the right ways. And then it's always being available. And, I mean, after Tommy John was when I was 15, and I kind of had to learn like more arm care. So just keeping that up, and again having them behind me to teach me more things and teach me the correct movements and stuff like that, and having them stay on me about it is awesome.
Coming out of Indiana State, you find out you're tipping your pitches, and without revealing too much, what do you guys do to diagnose that?
I watched that night. I couldn't really sleep, so I stayed up probably 3 to 4 hours just watching my film over and over again repeatedly, thinking about the last time that Arkansas hit me hard. I just looked at similar things, found out what I was doing, and try to fix it that way, and just again just being myself on the mound. They beat me, hats off to them, congrats, but I'd like to think that it's hard to beat me twice. I learned from my mistakes, so I was ready to go back out there, but at the same time you got to give them credit for doing their older team. They did what they needed to do. Smart baseball, it happens, but I didn't really lose. I learned from it, so just move forward.
Fair to say you found your fix then?
Yeah, I think so, but there's always room to grow and room inside the game. Because I'm a big film guy on myself. I don't like to watch film about everybody else. It's just I try to critique myself as much as I can.
What did it mean for Jake Eater to get through that crazy up and down inning with the plays in the field, good, bad, and lucky in favor of the offense, then come back out and get 3 more outs in the eighth?
And consistency. It just goes to everyone that we have on the staff is competitive. And sometimes, like, you hear all the stuff about who do we trust in the bullpen and stuff like that. Like, everybody's out there. Like, we can trust every one of the guys. Because how hard they compete, their heart's in it. Everybody's in here trying to do as best as they can. It's not like people are out there trying to do what they can't. And Jake is a competitor. He's a good pitcher, and I mean all of the guys in the bullpen are good. That's why we're here. But again, it just goes to how he trusts himself. And he went out there, did what he needed to do, and that's what he did.
Talking to Tyler Brown, finished off all 3 games this week for Vanderbilt. Friday night, you had that double go off first base with 1 out, tying run at second base with 2 down. Ty Duvall comes out to talk to you before Henry Davis comes up. What's that conversation like?
Well, we were just making sure that, again, just change our signs, make sure no one can get on and tip anything. But it was real simple, just stated my approach and go get the next guy. And I think that's what I did. And it didn't really bother me. Just thinking about it, like, even if you give up hits, it's going to happen, but it's just being able to control your emotions in this environment, not getting caught up in the hype and get caught up in everything that's going around me. Just stay quiet on the mound, focus about your catcher, and try to hit the glove.
You already had one weak contact bat become a hit in the inning. So what's your reaction when that looper goes over your head that Harry ends up catching?
Harry made a heck of a play. And my hat's off to him, and it's baseball. And if that was the way he was going to get on, I'll just keep the runner at third and go about my business again. But at the same time, Harry picked me up. Harry's known for that, always making those plays, does it in training, and I think that's why I have a lot of confidence in him.
Last thing, this is where you guys have wanted to be all year, and it's where you expect it to be. What does it mean to be here?
It means everything to us. It's everything to talk about being here. It's everything that, I mean, again, talk is cheap, but to actually be here in this situation, to actually feel the environment, like, none of our guys, the biggest thing is, it doesn't even feel like we're playing for a national championship. Yeah. We're here, we're in the moment, we're for now. Like Corbs always says, it's a one-team tournament, and that's how it's been, and I think it's really important that all of us buy into that. And for all of us to buy into that, it leads to something special, especially with everybody on here. We know we got a bunch of seniors. We know what they went through, Donnie and everything. And I think it's one of the best ways we can do it for Donnie in a way and also give back to the seniors for what they've been through. And I think the seniors deserve this a lot for how much hard work they've done. And, I mean, they don't forget about Donnie. I mean, we weren't here for that, but we don't forget about him either. I mean, he's on our field, and we feel him in moments, definitely. And you have Teddy and Susan here, and just to be able to see them here, and everyone's here, and it makes me really happy, just the fact that we're here. And I'm sure the seniors feel him on every play that they're on this field, and that's just the best part about it.
Music's off in the ballpark. That means let's get out of here. Tyler, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Tyler for joining me here on the podcast, Tyler Brown. Really enjoyed hearing what he had to say. Love talking about arm care with these guys. The Vanderbilt program has always been ahead of the pack, and they remain there in terms of the most advanced and recent up-to-date arm care strategies. And Tyler Brown, who had Tommy John in high school after blowing out his elbow while pitching in front of Tim Corbin on a recruiting visit. Had Tommy John in high school. He continues to make arm care a priority, as does this entire Vanderbilt staff. And without a doubt, he is in tip-top shape right now. So he's in it for the long haul, pitched in all three games this week. And as he said, he is plenty available. He needs the arm care tactics. He puts himself in a position to be available. And if Vanderbilt's going to win this College World Series, I imagine he's going to have to pitch in both wins. Maybe even all three. We'll see how that goes. How about him not sleeping the night after giving up those runs and almost letting Indiana State come back and overtake Vanderbilt in Game 2 of the Nashville Regional? He didn't sleep that night. He said it with a laugh and a little bit of a smile earlier today after the Sunday practice. Stayed up all night watching film. Says he's a bit of a film nut, watching his own film, not necessarily watching film of hitters, but he watches himself very intently. And after that happened and he found out right away that he was tipping his pitches, he watched that outing, watched it over and over, and also watched his outing against Arkansas in the Sunday game that Vanderbilt led late but ended up losing 14-12 after Brown surrendered some late runs. If you take those runs away, Brown nearly untouchable this year. And that would be two more saves for Brown. The Indiana State game, Vanderbilt did not lose. Jake Eater came in and got the final three outs of that one after Brown could not finish it. But he went straight to the film. Couldn't sleep. Obviously the game on his mind. Stayed up all night. And how about this? They beat me. Hats off to them. Congrats. But I like to think that it's hard to beat me twice. I learn from mistakes. Tyler Brown, ultra confident. Ultra, ultra confident and in total control in all three of his outings in the College World Series. And if we had to pick an MVP today for this College World Series tournament, and we may be picking one 2 days from now, I'd say Tyler Brown. Finished off all three wins, 16 total outs. As high leverage gets at TD Ameritrade Park in Omaha. So we'll see if anyone else from Vanderbilt can surpass him, if Commodores are able to win twice. But as of now, if Vanderbilt is able to win the whole thing and they continue on this pace and Tyler Brown finishes off both wins, and especially if he gets more than three outs in at least one of those, which you imagine he will, especially with three games and three straight days, he's got my vote. I know I'll get to vote for the all-tournament team. I don't know if the MVP is chosen by the media in attendance like the tournament team is, or if it's a separate commission, the NCAA just chooses it. Not sure exactly how that works, but I think Tyler Brown has already locked down his spot on the all-tournament team, even if Vanderbilt doesn't win it. But I will lobby for him to win tournament MVP if we get to that point. Great hearing from Tyler Brown. Really enjoyed all of his answers. Let's get now to the A-plot. Tim Corbin against the largest apple on his coaching tree, Eric Backich. Three of the four hitting coaches to come through Vanderbilt are now head coaches at Division I schools and major baseball programs. Eric Backich at Michigan, where he has been since 2012. Josh Holliday at Oklahoma State. And most recently, Travis Jewett at Tulane. All three of those guys run great programs, and now for the first time, Tim Corbin will not only face one of them, which hasn't happened before, unless, of course, you count the false scrimmages between Vanderbilt and Oklahoma State, which I will not, although they did go line dancing in between the two games. So we'll give him that. But this will be the first time that he has faced one of his former assistants, and it'll be on the biggest stage. Sunday afternoon, the two coaches got together at the podium, posed with the trophy. Tim Corbin thought it was pretty funny. He was looking around the room trying to go together, and Corb says, "Well, this isn't awkward." It was great. Then someone from the side says, "Can you guys shake hands for the photo op?" They shake hands, and Corbs can't hold back a big smile and a laugh. These guys love each other. They are happy to be playing at this point in the season, and it's going to be special. You're going to hear a lot about it. Some folks may get tired of it. But I want to show you why it matters. Why it matters to Tim Corbin, why it matters to Eric Backich. Backich became the volunteer assistant coach at Clemson during Tim Corbin's final season as an assistant coach there under Jack Leggett in 2002. Before that, Backich played first as a Division II player, a JUCO player, Then at the D1 level at East Carolina for legendary coach Keith LeClaire. By the way, Eric Backich and his hitting coach and assistant coach Nick Schnabel both wear uniform number 23. Two coaches wear the same uniform number. That's to honor their late collegiate head coach at ECU, Keith LeClaire, who wore that same digit. So pretty recently out of college, Backich was set up with Jack Leggett by Keith LeClaire, and he got that Clemson job. End of that first season, Tim Corbin goes to Vanderbilt, and he takes Eric Backich with him. Here's Coach Corbin on the first time he and Eric Backich met when the new volunteer assistant arrived at Clemson.
I kind of knew what I was going to meet when his former coach, Keith LeClaire, who has since passed, who I knew very well because he was from New Hampshire, called me and told me about Eric. And actually, he called me as well as Coach Leggett, but he relayed a lot of inside information about Eric just in terms of the fibers of the human and what he was and how he went about things. And I think a lot of the things that I heard from Keith were the attractive pieces of him. And at that point, it just led to a relationship that, you know, has lasted to this day. But, you know, what I found in just the 3 days, 4 days, 5 days of first meeting someone is you just could tell that he had an engine that just was completely different than most people that you meet. Just an unbelievable passion for teaching and coaching and being around people. And, you know, he's got everything that you would want in a teacher. I'll say teacher because to me, before you can coach, well, not every coach is a teacher, but I think if you're a good teacher, you can be a coach, and that's what he was. So it was just someone that I knew very quickly and right away that this person would be part of your life for the remainder.
Tim Corbin saw the immediate motivation factor, the immediate drive, and as he said it, the engine in Eric Backich right away. Someone he saw a lot of himself in for sure. Let's flip the script here. Here's Eric Backich talking about meeting Tim Corbin in the fall of 2001 in Clemson, South Carolina.
I didn't look up Coach Corbin's bio on the internet, and I didn't have anyone, you know, tell me about, you know, what he was about before I got there. My connection to Clemson was Coach LeClaire and Coach Leggett. And it might have taken me all of about 20 or 30 seconds to recognize what type of person Coach Corbin was. And then I got to know his story, and it all made sense. You know, I got there thinking, I'm just going to work the same hours he works, and I had no idea what I was signing myself up for. Around the clock, 24/7, his wife, Maggie, fully invested in the program as well, stuffing envelopes at 9 and 10 o'clock at night to get a recruiting letter out to, you know, 1,000 kids. But then hearing his story of, you know, Division III player, a guy that drove all night to go wait on the doorstep of an athletic director because he heard there was an opening in the ticket office, a guy who started a small school Presbyterian program, you know, by himself with a shovel and built a field and had to be the dorm director and had to be his own assistant coach and head coach, you know, just to see the work ethic and the drive and the energy and the passion. He'd sleep in his car because he didn't have a recruiting budget, tournament after tournament. You know, I just felt like this was the guy I want to be around. You know, I was a junior college player. I was always an underdog. wasn't one of those players that, you know, just had to prove I could play instead of some of the players that have to prove they can't. And it just felt like I want to. This is the guy I need to gravitate to. You know, you hear the phrase a lot about being in the right place at the right time and surrounding yourself with the right people. I felt like I hit the jackpot with that when I got to Clemson. And that had a lot to do with Coach Leggett and Kevin O'Sullivan, but, you know, I connected with Coach Corbin right away and just wanted to be like him.
I connected with Coach Corbin right away and just wanted to be like him. Well, it turned out just like that. So many similarities between these two, the way they talk, the way they coach, the way they recruit, the way they instill everything that they've learned down to their players. Team culture is huge with both of these guys. Both players were pointing out positives on the other side. All the players at the podium in this press conference and players from both teams were saying that the camaraderie is obvious. Michigan happy to be still playing after being down to their final strike and likely to miss the NCAA tournament during the Big Ten tournament 3 weeks ago, also here in Omaha. So every day that those guys have had together, they say, is a gift. So the camaraderie flashing through for them, Vanderbilt with perhaps their closest team ever and perhaps their best team ever, a very experienced group, the majority of which has been together for a long time. And as you heard Tyler Brown say, they play for each other. They play for each other. It's a very selfless group. There are guys who could or should play more, especially if they were other places. But there's no whining over playing time with this Vanderbilt team because they're good and they know their parts are adding up. So two very, very similar groups with two coaches who have learned a lot from each other. And it's not just Coach Backich learning from Coach Corbin. At least that's what Coach Corbin wants you to think. Here is Vanderbilt's leader on what Eric Backich did for Vanderbilt during his time as the hitting coach and recruiting coordinator from 2003 to 2009. Coach Corbin's first 7 years leading the Commodores.
I'll say this, and I'll say it briefly, but it's real. Vanderbilt's not Vanderbilt without Eric Backich. When Vanderbilt was not an attractive school to come to, I mean, there weren't a lot of people going after the Vanderbilt position when I did. There were about three others. So it wasn't one of those schools that people saw as a desirable situation. But I think when Coach Leggett hired me, he was trying to hire other head coaches. And then he finally said, I'm just going to hire a person that I don't know. And I think in Eric's case, I felt a lot of the same. I felt like he's someone that was like me, just needed the opportunity. And he was not going to take no for an answer in anything that he ever did. So he built a recruiting base that stands today. But the David Prices, the Pedro Alvarezes, the David Macias's, the Dominic De Loses, the good players back then, those are because of him. And because of that, it allowed other people like them to want to come to Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt is not Vanderbilt without Eric Backich. Line of the day right there. Backich left Vandy after the 2009 season for the head coaching job at Maryland. Less than 10 years out of college, he was a Division I Power 5 head coach. 3 years as the head coach at Maryland, now in his seventh with the University of Michigan. This was his third NCAA postseason as a head coach. All three of those are at Michigan. And first College World Series. First time Michigan has been there since the 60s when their first baseman, Jimmy Kerr's grandpa, was wearing the Block M. Let's hear from the Michigan side. The coaches are buddies, and the players from both teams have good things to say about their adversaries as well. Michigan catcher Joe Donovan struck a chord, talking about Vanderbilt and their national reputation as he gets ready to face them.
I think I can speak for most of the young kids in America. What Coach Corbin has done for the program, that's one of the schools that when you grow up, you think about it, you watch their highlight videos on YouTube, you watch the stuff that they do in the outfield, obviously them coming to Omaha, and they've really built one of the gold standard programs in the country, and I know a lot of schools across the country look up to them as far as how you go to and the point that you want to reach. And they've definitely inspired a lot of young kids that want to go play college baseball instead of pro ball just because it looks so much fun with everything they do. And they obviously set the bar for where you want your program to be.
Joe Donovan, Michigan catcher, saying that Vanderbilt has definitely inspired a lot of young kids to want to go play college baseball instead of pro ball, just because it looks so much fun with everything they do. and of course how much they win. Tyler Beede, Kumar Rocker, Jack Leiter, so many others. Candidates to go to pro ball, and maybe they would have 10 years ago. Vanderbilt, along with some of their SEC brethren, and of course schools like Michigan as well, leading the charge to get players to come to the college game. Appreciated that comment from Joe Donovan on Vanderbilt. And yeah, those outfield antics get some eyeballs. They have some value. So I agree completely with Joe Donovan on that one. Started off with the Vanderbilt one-on-one interview. Now we'll go to the Michigan side. I had a chance to speak with Wolverine senior second baseman Akeo Thomas heading into this College World Series Finals, talking about their run so far, the three pitchers they've used. Yeah, that's all they've had to use. And we'll talk about the pitching matchup a little bit before we end the show here. What they've done in Omaha, the 15 runs they scored against Texas Tech on Friday in their third game after winning tight, low-scoring affairs through their first two. And just what he's looking forward to. Appreciate the time. Akeo Thomas, Michigan second baseman, senior from Chicago, Illinois.
Akeo, thanks for coming on with me.
Thanks for having me.
Sum up this experience so far.
It's unreal. It's kind of hard to sum up this. just being here in general. Maybe not supposed to be here, honestly, but we're just enjoying this ride so far. Keeping the momentum, keeping the Cinderella story going, and we'll see how these finals go.
You guys have been in this ballpark more often than not over the last few weeks. I've heard TD Ameri Playground. Where did that start?
I believe it started last year in the Big Ten tournament. Just trying to, Evie's trying to loosen us up, make sure we're having fun. just letting us know that it's still a game, but it's a good way to put it.
A lot of people are going to see you at the playground for the first time on the national stage, and they're going to say, that's how he pronounces his name? What's the story there? A-K-O, Akeo.
Yeah, Akeo. Since three letters are too long, everyone just calls me K-O. There's no story behind it. That's just my name. It's a bit of a weird one, but whatever.
You guys have gotten here into the finals using just three pitchers. Does that surprise you?
No, not really. It surprised everyone else, but the three pitchers that I have pitched have done a really good job, and hopefully they can continue to do well.
You're a four-year starter on this infield. What does it mean to you to end your career here?
I wouldn't want to go out any other way. This is awesome. Once again, dream come true. It's one thing to say, oh, I want to go to Omaha, but to actually be here and embrace everything, it's awesome, and I can't wait to tell kids in the future about this awesome experience that I've had.
There's a lot of prestige involved with being an athlete in any sport at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. What is it like on the most basic level on campus day-to-day being a baseball player there?
It's not bad, actually. You know, early morning classes, go to practice, study table, do it all over again. It's honestly, once you get in the routine, it's kind of a good thing. But not bad overall.
Are there big pieces of tendencies or culture that you see across Big Ten baseball?
I don't know. Not really, I'd say. No tendencies, but the boys up north, they definitely play harder. They definitely play hard, man. Just coming out of the tough winters and not being able to play outside all the time.
Right.
Just holds some edge against us. So I guess you could say Big Ten's tough, man.
What's it like being in behind Tommy Henry during that complete game shutout?
It was awesome. Tommy's been doing well for us all year, and probably saved his best performance for the College World Series, which is amazing. And it's always good playing behind him. He works fast, makes defense work, get us ground balls, as well as takes the strikeouts, of course. But it's awesome playing behind all those guys, honestly. We have a good pitcher staff, and excited to be a part of this team, honestly.
Every single game this whole week here has been close and low scoring, except your win over Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not the type of game you expect in the finals. You
exactly.
Don't expect 15-3.
Right.
But what does that do for you guys offensively?
That's just confidence right there, letting us know that we could beat any team by however many runs if we continue to take our walks, string quality at bats together, and just keep a simple approach.
Without giving anything away, what type of reactions do you have as you go through the Vanderbilt scouting reports and learn about these guys?
We haven't done scouting yet, but that's coming for sure. But I know that's a pretty good ball team over there, and we're excited to play them.
Awesome. Akeo Thomas, thanks so much for doing
this,
and best of luck.
Of course, thank you.
Thanks again to Akeo Thomas for talking to me here on the Anchor Down podcast, Michigan's second baseman, going into his final week of college games. You could just hear in his voice how happy he was to be here, by the way. Had some good things to say about Roe Coleman, fellow Chicagoan, fellow ball player. Okay, I was happy to hear that Roe Coleman is still doing his thing in Nashville, working at Parker Sports Performance and coaching some travel ball. By the way, for those of you hanging around, we're going to keep doing Vandy Boys Talk into the summer. Hope to have Roe on at some point to update you on all the cool things he's doing, still living in Music City, that, of course, would never be possible without his time at Vanderbilt. Pitching matchup for this series. Vanderbilt's going to go 1-2-3. Drake Fellows will start the first game. Kamar Rocker will start the second game. And this isn't set in stone, but you imagine Mason Hickman would start game three unless there's a situation where he is really needed in games 1 and 2. But he's coming off a start Friday, so you imagine he would not be available in those games. Maybe if Vanderbilt loses game one, he would be available to help stave off elimination in game two, but that's a couple steps away. It'll be Drake Fellows versus Michigan junior left-hander Tommy Henry in game number one. By going 3-0 in their bracket in the double elimination portion, two wins over Texas Tech and a win in the middle over Florida State, Michigan was able to preserve their pitching staff, and they've only used three pitchers. They only used three pitchers in those three wins. So we'll see if it'll be on those three. Vanderbilt would certainly like them to. They want to see somebody other than Tommy Henry, Carl Kaufman, and Jeff Criswell. Henry threw the complete game shutout in the 2-0 win over Florida State on Monday. That got Michigan 3 days off and got them all the way through to Friday, where they won. Could have lost and then won, but only played those three games, so able to save Henry, who will be making his second start of the World Series, for game one of this best of three. Carl Kaufman started games 1 and 3, Saturday and Friday, both against Texas Tech and both wins. He went 7 in the first game, 6 in his second outing, the 15-3 rout of the Red Raiders. He'll be starting game 2. Now here's the question mark. Where does Jeff Criswell fit into all of this? He's been their number 3 starter, but it's evident that they like him as a do-it-all type bullpen arm. He finished off both of Kaufman's starts. 2 innings in the first win over Texas Tech, high leverage. Then 3 innings to close out the 12-run victory on Friday. So we'll see if and when Criswell goes in games 1 and 2. They may have to piece some things together. But if I had to wager, Vanderbilt does enough to get past those three arms at some point. We will see a fourth pitcher for Michigan throw a pitch, is my guess. But having a fresh Tommy Henry starting game one of the best of three, that's of absolute import to Michigan. I would not have given them a chance in this series if they had lost Friday and still won Saturday, just because of how behind the eight ball they would have been with their three lead arms. Henry would have started that game on Saturday. Now he'll be rested, ready to go on Monday. Should be fun. We'll see what Michigan does. They've got a little bit deeper thinking to do strategy-wise than Vandy on that point. But it's good. My official prediction, not that it matters much, I'm going to say Vanderbilt in 3. I think Michigan takes game 1. Tommy Henry does his thing. Then Vanderbilt comes back to win the next 2 and take it. So Vanderbilt in 3, my official prediction. SEC versus Big Ten, North versus South, Mentor versus Mentee, Omskis versus TD Ameri Playground. I don't know which one of those is worse. Vanderbilt versus Michigan. Let's have some fun. We'll be podcasting after every game. TheGameNashville.com, click on Pod Center, click on Anchor Down, check out our SoundCloud page, The Game Nashville. Follow me on Twitter at MaxHersTalks, MaxHersTalks, at 1025 The Game. We'll be talking through the series on all of our daily shows. I will be appearing throughout the week. First appearance will be 1:30 in the afternoon Monday, June the 24th, on Darren and Donick at 1:30 on 1025 The Game. So some of you who are listening, that has probably already happened. You can hear that on The Game Nashville SoundCloud as well. We got to make sure that's the top story tomorrow. I know P.K. Subban got traded over the weekend.
We'll make that 1A and 1B. 6 o'clock Central, Monday night, Game 1. Vanderbilt, Michigan. Can't get Louisville out of my mind after those two games. Vanderbilt, Michigan. 6 o'clock Central, Monday on ESPN. Same time, same network, Tuesday. And then if they split the first two, do it again Wednesday at 6 Central. Vanderbilt is the home team in Games 1 and 3. So for those of you here, they will be in the third base dugout on Monday and Wednesday, then the visiting team, and on the first base side in game number 2, Tuesday. Thanks for anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.